Did you think your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you? Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it. I'm the listener, I'm the resistor.
Sometimes at night I'd lie awake
I'd wander downstairs and pray he'd returned, but no one was there. Oh, how I cried, a child all alone, waiting for him to come home. My father's chair sat in an empty room. My father's chair covered with sheets. My father's chair.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 10th day of August, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Status Update. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Cymru am byth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and if you go through the pages there, you'll find a Daily Mail page that'll list current events and all kinds of information. There is a home page where you can get information on how to help us out with a donation if you feel so led. And there is a Contact Us page. If you don't have my personal contact email or phone number, then you can use that to get a message to me. We've got a bunch of verses here I want to go through. We also want to have a short discussion about the militia meeting that went on earlier today. Some of the points that were brought out during that conference call. But before we get into all that, I wanted to read a poem. We haven't read this poem in quite a while. This is a poem written by Rudyard Kipling. And when I was in school, they used to talk about Mr. Kipling quite a bit. But, you know, I never remember them talking about this particular poem. The title of this poem is The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. It was kind of interesting. I had a conversation with some gentlemen recently, and I found out that even though several of these guys were in their 40s or 50s, there were some of the people that we were talking to who did not know that WASP, which is W-A-S-P, is an acronym for White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Now, when I was a boy, the Jewish media was already attacking WASPs, or White Anglo-Saxon Protestants, as being the cause of all the problems. In other words, they were militia, they were white supremacists, they were KKK, and so all of the news media was used to attack White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Even though the United States, the colonies that became the United States, were all founded by white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. So it stands to reason that this nation was founded by those men, and it says that they left this nation to their posterity. So whether people like hearing it or not is not the question. Those words make it very clear that this country was for white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. The colonists did not trust the Catholic Church then, and I think we have seen in our lifetimes plenty of reasons to see why they did not. They considered it popery, and they considered the Pope the Antichrist. So obviously Catholicism was not to be condoned in the colonies. If they didn't allow Catholicism, then obviously they would have had a hard time with Judaism, which actively preaches Antichrist doctrine. And yet this country has been completely turned around, or as Scripture says, good would be called evil and evil would be called good. The true believers, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants of true faith who founded this nation, are the least. We have become the tail. when our adversaries have all become the, quote, rulers and possessors of real estate, businesses, banking, etc., etc. Now, the scriptures will clearly tell you that when you become the tail, it's usually because of your behavior. And it is our behavior. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestants no longer stood up for each other. They did not look out for each other. They did not form ranks when we were assailed. And part of the reason was that the seminaries and the preachers had been bought and paid for, and they were part of the PSYOP to convince white Anglo-Saxon Protestants that they should feel guilty for who they were. Well, we now have lived through enough of the tribulation to see why the enemy hates the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Because they are the people of the Bible. They are the people who love Yahshua. They are the people who are willing to fight and die for freedom and for justice. The enemy does not like that. The enemy wants people to be afraid of their own shadows, be willing to sell out their own families, and sell out themselves even, just as we have in the last 2.5 years, allowing potentates, treasonous individuals, to dictate terms about our businesses, about our health, about everything of our life. So the wrath of the awakened Saxon, or the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, by Rudyard Kipling. It was not part of their blood. It came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxon began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy, willing to wait till every count should be proved, ere the Saxon began to hate. Their voices were even and low. Their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxon began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd. It was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxon began to hate. It was not suddenly bred. It will not swiftly abate. Through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date when the Saxon began to hate. Then there's a quote here by Francis Parker Yoki, who wrote the book Imperium. This destiny does not tire, nor can it be broken, and its mantle of strength descends upon those in its service. Hallelujah. Part of the issue with people wanting to form militias or be part of militias today is, of course, this goes back to the 1990s when there was a very, very strong militia movement in the United States. I remember because I was part of it. I went up on a mountaintop with my family and lived in a beat-up old trailer to be part of the Patriots Facts Network, and to join a local militia up in the hills of Pennsylvania. So I know what was going on back then. The internet had not yet been invented, and so the fastest way to get information to different patriot groups was to send faxes. And so we gathered some money together that I had saved, and we purchased a fax machine and set up an office in a old beat-up trailer that I purchased. And we proceeded to receive information and sort it out and then refax what we thought was pertinent. It was about that same time that we had some of the hunters up in the mountains of Pennsylvania had come to us and said that they ran across 4 individuals while they were hunting. These individuals had military uniforms on, but they could not speak English. So we asked the hunters what they did. They said, well, they held them at gunpoint, but while they were standing around discussing what to do with them, they ran off into the woods. And again, this was back in the early 1990s, the late 80s and the early 90s. So these meetings that we're talking about are to basically just let people know where we're at, much like we did with the Patriot Facts Network, to make people aware of what's going on. There is no discussions about actual activity, such as meeting somewhere, be armed, and all this stuff. That is not what's going on. And some people are a bit skittish about that, but they shouldn't be. And I did bring up the fact that in the 90s, again, there was a patriot movement, and there was a very, very large amount of particularly white men that were joining militias at that time. I remember I was working in Texas, and one of the technicians had a picture of his unit training in Central Texas, and they actually had a armored vehicle and German machine guns in their camouflage uniforms, and it was on his desk. He was not trying to hide it. It was part of the Oklahoma City bombing. The job for that staged event, and it was a staged event, we've interviewed Cody Snodgrass, who worked for the CIA as a contractor. He was part of all that, in a sense. We've talked about the testimony of Ted Gunderson, also the testimony of U.S. Army Colonel Don de Grand Pre, United States Air Force Major Francis Farrell, and Army Major John Knight. Okay, that's just a list of a few of the people that we talked about what happened at Oklahoma City and the fact that it was not true, including United States Air Force General Benton Parton. Well, one of the goals of the communist insurgents in this country was to use the Oklahoma City bombing to cause fear in people joining militias, because the media attacked the militias at that time. Now, why did they do that? Because supposedly when Timothy McVeigh was driving away from the scene of the crime in an automobile with no license plates on it, which, I mean, this whole story smacks of just complete lunacy, and yet people bought this bullshit. They said they found a copy of a book written by Red Beckman called Why the Militia. And the reason I remember this so well is because I had a copy of that book. And I had read several other books written by Red Beckman, who I believe at that time lived in Montana, and he was a fighter. He wrote extensively about the corruption of the IRS and the whole tax system in this country. He was the co-author of The Law That Never Was, if I remember right. And he wrote this book about why the militia. Now, there was nothing wrong with this book. It was perfectly legit. Everything he said in there was historically accurate and everything else. But the media portrayed it as anybody owning this book was actively trying to overthrow the United States government, which is not true. Now, this is a ploy that is typically used by communists, where they take truth and turn it on its head in order to defame those trying to stop the communist insurgency. We should recognize this. This is a typical Jewish Bolshevik tactic. In fact, just the very fact that the Jews are doing this with their control of the media and all is prima facie evidence that there is an insurgency going on. But most of the brain dead sheep that are still watching television will never figure it out. The good news is people that have turned off their televisions so that their brains can actually function again, they're starting to figure out that, whoa, wait a minute. something is terribly wrong here. And yes, indeed, it is terribly wrong. So that was part of what we talked about. There is a growing interest in it once again. The militia never went away, by the way. They just went underground. And I know because I was part of the militia movement in Michigan at one point, and I used to ask why is everybody just meeting in small groups, off the radar, being very careful not to have too much publicity, etc. And that's what they said. Because of what the media had done, the attack, the defaming of the militia, even though it's completely constitutional, that just shows you the level of stupidity in the country and the level of dumbing down of the average person in this country. The public school system has done its job. Which, by the way, if you look into the history of John Dewey and the whole progressive education system, it was all run and led by Jewish progressives, Jewish communists. The whole idea of a free public education comes right out of the Communist Manifesto. And yet people just let it happen, didn't resist, didn't do anything to stop it. Now you've got a whole generation of people that are so dumb it's unbelievable. They don't know much of anything. I'm just amazed sometimes, just amazed at how well they were able to pull this off, how little resistance was given to this communist takeover. It is dumbfounding. So part of the issue that's being talked about is whether it's constitutional for people to join militias or to form militias and everything else. Well, we talked about that fact too. Remember, the Constitution guarantees the protection of your rights. It does not give you rights. Your rights precede the Constitution. Okay? They existed before it. Your rights come from the Almighty. They don't come from a piece of paper. They don't come from a body of men sitting in some legislature somewhere. They're given to you at birth. The Founding Fathers generated this document called a Constitution to be the basis to form a government, basically saying that we're going to give public servants certain amount of latitude, certain amount of authority, and a certain amount of obligations that they owe us. But in return for giving them this and paying them, we want a level of trust, and so they're going to have to swear allegiance, quote, to the Constitution, meaning they're going to abide by the restrictions contained in the Constitution. So the Constitution doesn't restrict you and I ever, under any circumstances. It does restrict our public servants. You know, it's much like executive orders. Whether it's at the state or federal level, everybody thinks that the governor or the person in the White House has a right to generate this, quote, executive order, and it has the force of law. Folks, no, it doesn't. Turn your thinking caps on for a minute. That's what the hell your legislature's for. If your legislature doesn't present the bill and get it passed appropriately and get it signed into law, it has no effect. Executive orders are just for the executive branch of government. That's it. In other words, the people who directly report to the governor and directly report to the president of the United States are the only people that executive order applies to. It's why it's called an executive order. It's no different than if you go down to the local post office and the postmaster writes up an order for the employees. It doesn't apply to you and me out here. It applies to the people working for the postmaster at the post office. Well, the same thing is for Tallahassee and the governor's mansion in Florida. The same thing for the White House and the president in Washington, D.C. An executive order carries no power outside of the executive branch. And yet you can talk to 100 people and probably 99 of them would say, well, Diane, they signed an executive order and so we're going to have to listen to him. Billy Bob, go back to sucking on your bottle of whiskey and put your fishing pole back in the water and turn off your brain because what little you have doesn't function any longer. Again, the communists have done their job. The watchmen, the preachers, failed us. Our ancestors failed us. Our elected representatives failed us. The news media failed us. And the education system has failed us. Our system is broke, and it has become a complete and utter failure. Sorry, but that's the state of things in this nation today. It does not work. It has become a complete and utter failure. The only question is how long until the final timber in our house collapses under the weight of the corruption and everything just crumbles to the ground. And who will be left to rebuild from the ashes of this failed empire? I guess that's where faith comes in, doesn't it? And knowledge of truth. And I'm talking about truth in every area, not just scripture. That one scripture is so very true. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not half-truths, not emotionalism, not hearsay, actual rock-solid truth. Now, for the naysayers out there that don't seem to think we have a right to defend ourselves, I want to go through a few verses here. We can go to the book of Luke, chapter 22 at verse 36. He, being Yahshua, said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, or a purse, and likewise a knapsack, or a backpack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. So again, here we are in Luke chapter 22, where it's obvious that the Messiah himself is telling them they are to be armed. Now, in Luke 19, we've already talked about Luke 19 and verse 26, or 19 and 27. In fact, let me see if I can pull that up here real quick so we get that exactly right. Let's see which translation I have. Let's see what the Bible in Basic English says for the book of Luke 19 and 27. Now this is under the title of the parable of the 10 minas. So this is the section which starts at verse 11. But we're going to go on down here to 27. And as for those who were against me, some versions have my enemies, who would not have me for their ruler. Now these are the words of Christ. Let them come here and be put to death. The World English Bible says it this way, but bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them here and kill them or execute them before me. The English Standard Version has, but as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. So right here in Luke 19, we read those words, and in 22, we read about the fact that we're to be armed. We can go to Psalm 144, verse 1, a Psalm of David. Blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. You know, this goes along with the samurai Bushido code, which says that in order to deal with violent criminals, it requires righteous and good men to be better trained at violence than these criminals are. I'm paraphrasing it. Which goes along with the whole idea of the samurai. The samurai were dedicated servants. That's what the word in Japanese means. Samurai is a servant. A servant of the warlords, but also a servant to the people. Their job was to dispatch criminals and any troublemakers. And they were better trained at violence than the criminals were, because they trained day and night. They were very disciplined. The same thing with the knights in the Middle Ages. The knights took a code of honor, an oath of honor, to defend the helpless and the widows and the orphans, much as Scripture says. And the knights, as the samurai did, the knights also dedicated their lives to this purpose and trained continually, so that, once again, they were better trained at violence than the wicked. You see, now they tell us that, well, that's your police force and that's your military. The only problem with that is the criminals took over the governments that control those organizations. So how are they going to protect us? If they remained loyal to the people, then yeah, they could be our, quote, protectors. But when their loyalty lies with the insurrectionists, the communists, then they're no longer on our side. Everybody's going to have to make a decision pretty soon. Father says so. We can go to Romans, the famous Romans, chapter 13. For he is God's servant, and we're talking about the authorities now. For he is God's servant for your good. Okay. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, Romans 13 here, are they talking about people that violate man's law? Or are they talking about people that violate God's law? It's pretty obvious if you read that whole chapter, it's talking about God's law, because our Heavenly Father doesn't care what legislators put together. Neither should we. William Blackstone said it best when he said that any legislative body putting out a piece of paper and calling it law, if it violates God's law, it is no law at all. So obviously, our Heavenly Father's law is superior to man's law. We can go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, where it says, "You shall not murder." Now, why does this apply to the conversation about self-defense? Because when you execute a criminal, when you execute a thief or a bandit or a rapist coming into your house, that's not murder. Because they have violated God's law, they are no longer, quote, innocent. You see, murder in the original Greek and Hebrew was the taking of an innocent life, like a child, like a political prisoner, like somebody falsely accused by a woman in a trial or by the Jews who lie upon the witness stand, because that's their religion. Go look at the Kol Nidre prayer and its origins. Okay, that is the shedding of innocent blood. Somebody who is harmed, but they never committed the crime. Taking a criminal out is actually righteous. Exodus 22, verse 2. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. Meaning, the person who killed the invader is innocent. It's what we used to call justifiable manslaughter. Back when I was a boy, I used to read about it in the papers every now and then. A jury would return the verdict that it was justified homicide or justifiable homicide, such as in the case of finding somebody raping your daughter or a thief breaking into your house or somebody accosting one of your family members or your wife and you struck them and they died. It was not considered murder. It was justifiable homicide, which goes along with what Scripture is telling us here, okay? Then we can go to Numbers chapter 31, verse 3. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm men from among you for the war, that they may go against Midian to execute Yahweh's vengeance on Midian. Just like we talk about Psalm 149, it is the honor of his called out ones or saints to execute his written judgments against the wicked. So, you know, the enemy wants you to feel guilty for wanting to defend yourselves, taking actions to defend your country or yourself, when Scripture clearly says it's our right, it's our duty to do such things. But they pay a lot of money to have preachers trying to tell you that these things aren't true, that it's the authorities, the communist authorities' job. You don't have a right to defend yourself unless you get your communist overlord's permission. You know what I pray for? I pray to live long enough to see the day when these sycophants in the military and police who are doing the bidding of their communist overlords are going to be held accountable for that. They're going to be put on trial for committing treason against we the people. It won't be just the politicians and the lawyers and the crooked judges, etc. There will be men from the military. There'll be women and men from the police forces that will also be put on trial, especially if they have harmed somebody supposedly in the line of duty. Because they're going to say, well, we have to obey our orders. I'm sorry. But Yahweh sits upon the throne. He doesn't really give a damn what your orders are. If you take another person's life, if you commit them to a prison, if you harm them in any way, their blood is on you, the individual that did it. You're not going to be able to hide behind a superior giving orders. Now, that guy giving you the orders, he's going to stand trial as well, but the thing that the perpetrator needs to understand is that uniform is not going to protect you. You are going to be judged for your actions. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, starting at verse 17, speaking of those rebuilding Jerusalem, who were building on the wall, those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So right there, the Israelites are back in Jerusalem building the wall. And while they're building the wall, they are armed, much like the settlers who came to America, North America. When they went to church, they carried a Bible and a musket rifle. They carried their swords and weapons of self-defense with them at all times. So you see how they change things over time? how the enemy creeps in and gets the so-called trusted voices within the framework of the modern day church to go against logic and go against scripture. Our founding fathers never believed any such thing, that the government is all powerful, never to be challenged, allowed to make all of these ridiculous statutes and regulations that interfere with virtually every facet of our life? Are you kidding me? Who believes such nonsense? We go to Psalm 18, verse 34. Speaking of our Father in heaven, He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now, any of you that have ever pulled a bow, a compound, not a compound, but a long bow back, which I have, in high school even, a 70-pound long bow, recurve bow, that sucker was hard to pull back. 70-pound bow. Now, back in the day, our ancestors, 70 pounds was pretty light. They pulled back bows that could generate even more poundage. But a 70-pound bow was pretty hard to pull back. Can you imagine a bow made with bronze trying to pull it back? So this verse is just saying that He trains my hands for war, so that my arms can bend, meaning strength. It's just a way of saying very, very strong. We're supposed to be physically fit, not just mentally and spiritually, but physically fit for conducting warfare. John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, we've talked about this many times. Are you paying attention? But the Helper, or Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He, this Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, let's see what this verse says. How come it doesn't say it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've shown you in the Bible? Doesn't say that. In fact, think about it. Yahshua never quoted anybody in the New Testament, did he? Oh, no, that's right, because it didn't exist. So He didn't give His authority or quote anything in your New Testament, but He is quoting the prophets all the time. And He would just simply say, it is written. So when Yahshua taught, just like we teach today, and was taught for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Yahshua left, the teachings were done by instruction, and the Holy Spirit testified whether the instructions were true or not. The same applies for us today. You say they want you to stay buried in Scripture because they can manipulate the meanings of words. But you can't manipulate the intentions of the spoken word so easily. And for sure, you can't adulterate the voice of the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, within us. So they want you to be focused on the preacher as if he's the representative, which in most cases they are not. They are liars and deceivers. And they want you to think that, oh, the King James or the NIV or the Revised Standard, that's the inspired word of God. Really? And yet right here in that same book that you're claiming all this, it says that the Apostle John, Yochanan, beloved of Yahweh is what that means, he says that the Father sent a helper, a counselor called the Holy Spirit, and that He will be in His name or by His authority, and He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. So He's going to teach. We've had the Holy Spirit with us from day one, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'll remind you, who brought us what we call the Bible today? Who tells us that this is the inspired Word of God? Who tells us that only the books that they approve of get to be in the Bible? Yeah, it's called the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. The same Roman Catholic Church that is so full of errors and blasphemies, it's enough to make you sick to your stomach. And yet you got people walking around carrying this book, thinking they know everything of Yahweh there is to know. And they're not even looking at the fact that book was brought into existence by one of the most corrupt, satanic organizations to ever exist. Are we silly or what? Maybe we should spend more time in our prayer closets, in a quiet place in our home somewhere, in prayer, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us exactly as Yeshua said it was supposed to be. You think that might work? Something to think about. And then also in John 14 at verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It doesn't say you might keep them, or you will consider keeping them. He said, if you love me, you will obey or keep my commandments. What are the commandments of Yeshua? The same exact commandments of the Father. They're no different. The scripture says that Yeshua, Yahweh in a flesh body, was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who else does it say is the same today, yesterday, and forever? Yahweh. Kind of, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Don't you remember that from algebra class? I do. If A equals B and B equals C, then you can deduce or say that A also equals C. That's why Yeshua said, when you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father am one. All this stuff is starting to come together at the end of this age beautifully. We see this nonsense and chaos going on around us out here, but that's exactly why you should be ignoring it. Because that's what it is, chaos. And it's being generated by the antichrists. They're everywhere. And they're being paid out of the same pool of electronic shekels that are paying for all of the mischievous things being done today. As our ancestors very aptly said, if you want to know what's going on in this world, follow the money. It'll lead you to the people behind it almost every single time. Just follow the money. It will show you who's got motive. He'll show you who has opportunity. Just like 9/11. Follow the money. Where did the gold that was in the Twin Towers go? That was robbed out of the underground vaults days before 9/11. We seem to forget that that Jew told us the day before 9/11 that there were trillions of dollars unaccounted for. Just the day before. Oh, there's $3 trillion that we can't account for. Oh, and then the next day all the gold in the basement of the Twin Towers disappears. I'm sure there's nothing to see here. No doubt about it. Okay, there was something that came out about turning our phones off all night tonight. I never got confirmation about all that, but between you and me, I turn my phone off every night anyway. I turn it off. First of all, I don't want it radiating anywhere in my house. I don't want it anywhere near me, and I don't want to have my sleep disturbed. So I turn it off. So maybe that's a good practice, maybe it isn't, but it works for me. There are a few times I don't, because I think somebody in the family has reason maybe to call me, etc. But again, that's between you and the Father, what you do about those kinds of things. But mine is turned off quite frequently and almost never on my person. I treat the cell phone just like the old phone that used to sit on my coffee table in my house. It has voicemail, and if I'm home, I can answer it, and if not, you can leave a voice message or a text message. I think that's great. I don't need to carry it with me. I don't believe I'm so important that everybody needs to be able to communicate with me within a minute. No, I'm not that important, and there aren't that many people that important in this world. We lived quite well when I was a boy, and there was one phone in the house for every single person, and it was on the wall in the kitchen. That was it. And we got along just fine. In fact, we got along a lot better back then than people do today. Maybe we have a little too much communication and not enough looking inwardly and trusting each other just a little bit. You got people today that freak out if their phone shuts off, and I know that for a fact. I've seen it, especially young people, literally have a hissy fit simply because their cell phone stopped working or their service was turned off for some reason. They literally are having a conniption fit. Tell me that isn't ridiculous. So again, if there is anything going on or anything with that particular warning or caution, I will certainly pass it on to the people I know. Again, I would recommend that you check the Daily Mail page as, at least once or twice a day. It only takes a few clicks. I'll try to put some kind of notice up there or whatever. There's also the email way, but I have noticed here lately there's some glitches starting. I went to go to a website today to look at some blogs, and the site would not load up at all. Nothing at all. I know what it was. Activist posts, which I've looked at for quite a bit, their website would not work today at all. So maybe it's working now, but earlier today it was not working. So, again, be careful. Be vigilant. Stay on your toes. Stay prepped and prayed up. Stay in touch with the Holy Spirit. Your Father is reaching out to you during these dark days. I don't know why people wouldn't see that. He told us about this calamity that we would see at the end of the age, and true, it is even worse than I thought it would be, and it could get even more worse. But it's pretty nasty. All the more reason why you should be in constant communication, not only with your brothers and sisters of like mind, but you should be in contact with your Father. He is our King of Kings. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And He knows what your needs are. Why would you not reach out to Him? Why would you worry about what's on the media? Why would you worry about what neighbors are saying or some other libtard woke piece of crap out there? Let the heathen rage, just like Scripture says. Let the heathen rage. They're not going to be here much longer. Hallelujah. I personally hope it's tomorrow. I'm tired of seeing these mental midgets and psychotic morons walking around. They've got no brains. They've got no empathy. They've got no sanity. They certainly have no loyalty. And they're not going to help fix anything. They're part of the problem. So when the Father wants to take them away, I say, hallelujah. Burn them up. With that being said, we'll close it out for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the men that are starting to join together and reach out and form a band of brothers in these latter days. We pray for the righteous army to arise, because Malachi and others say that the world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. There's a job for a righteous army. That righteous army needs to start getting together. It's going to be called forth in the near future. Not today, but in the near future. And the trump will sound when it is given from on high. It will not be a mortal man who decides to call forth this army. But that army needs to realize who they are and be training and be prepared mentally, physically, and spiritually. We pray for all the souls that suffer with any kind of malady out there, Father, whether it be a wound or a disease or whatever. We pray that everybody would do all that they can to be as healthy as they can. Get good, clean food and water, and stay away from these factory farms and corporate farms. They're producing poisons for you. Get with local ranchers and farmers, or grow your own. That's what we're starting to do here. Planting crops, it's fun. We should have never left it. I know I grew up doing it, and Father, it was a lot of fun doing it with my brother and sister, my mom and dad, going out into the family garden, watching that grow, and it was the tastiest, best food imaginable. Totally organic. Didn't even know what organic was back then. That was just the way you did it. Well, what a blessing that was. We can do it again. So help us to that end, Father. Give us good discernment. Give us good direction. Give us a stiff backbone and take away all fear. Help us to be good administrators and representatives of you. Guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Father in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even Yahweh, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says Yahweh, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation.
He was part of the dream when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day. Because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming. Is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. light, the path grows from day to day, leading on the everlasting arms.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting
Spirit, let me live by your ways. Let my heart always hear you, and my soul draw more near you, till the end of my days. For I confess, I'm a helpless sinner, who's crying for your saving grace. Dear Lord, please be there, hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer, please be there, hear my prayer.
Your love is the light of this world, let it shine through my soul. You're the life-giving water, I'm the clay, you're the potter, let your will be my goal. Your gift that you give of life eternal is worth more than silver, gems, and gold. Dear Lord,
please be there,
hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer. Please be there, hear my prayer.
For I believe you are the Savior, that you gave your life for me, that you shed in your spirit, let me live by your ways. Let my heart always hear you, and my soul draw more near you, till the end of my days. And if I should awake from death's restful slumber, Please let me see your shining face.
Candlelight burning low. Let's light another in the evening glow. Take a look around you, and before you know, we're gonna fall in love. Hold my hand, I'll hold yours. Pull a little closer, I'll close them doors. Maybe we'll remember what a kiss is for. We're gonna fall in love. And it's so fun to touch your fingertips. So wonderful inside. Someone with such inviting lips. Feeling I can't hide. So dance with me, embrace the song. Nothing ever after in the world is wrong. When we are together, girl, you know we both belong. And we're gonna fall in love. Are those wedding bells I hear? Sure sounds like it. Play Mr. Fingers. It's so fun to touch your fingertips. So wonderful inside. Someone with such inviting lips. A feeling I can't hide. I'm not gonna try. So come with me. Enjoy the view. Nothing is important, that's not part of you. Maybe you'll discover just what I'm coming to. We're gonna fall in love, baby, now. Sent from up above, we're gonna fall in love.
Sweater out, those dumb records. cigarette. Pour me some air.